Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And when we started, I told you that the first three chapters of this book dealt with doctrine, reminding us what we had in Jesus Christ, our wealth in Christ. And the last three chapters, chapters 4 through 6, were more practical and deals with our walk in Christ. Because we have these things, here's how we should conduct ourselves. And you remember we divided the first chapter into two parts. We talked about the spiritual possessions that we have in Jesus Christ, and then the prayer that was in the last part of chapter 1, where the apostle wrote that we would know what we have, that we would know the hope of his calling and the riches of his inheritance and the greatness of his power. And then last week we talked about chapter 2, and we divided that into two parts. We talked about our new condition in Christ. And, you know, if you remember, we compared the new condition to the old, how we were spiritually dead, but he quickened us, how we were subject to Satan, but that he raised us with Christ, and we have power over sin now, just like Jesus did. How our affections were bound in the flesh, but now we sit in the heavenlies, and how we were under the condemnation of God, but now are the object of his favor. All that because of what we have in Jesus Christ. And then the last part of chapter 2, we talked about our relation in Jesus, and we compared again, before and after. We were aliens, but now we are fellow citizens. We were strangers, but now we are members of his household. We had no hope and we were without God, but now we are living stones built on a solid foundation that shall never perish and dwelt by the Spirit of God. And so tonight we come to chapter 3. And again, we're going to divide chapter 3 in two parts. We're going to talk about the mystery that Paul was given the privilege to reveal to all, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And then we're going to talk about the fullness of God, how we can have the fullness of God within us. And so I want to do it a little bit different tonight. I'd like to read the first 12 verses as we get started of chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as he wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Paul starts out by saying that he is a prisoner, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and he says, for you Gentiles. And you remember, Paul was called to be a messenger to the Gentiles, as well as to rulers, as well as to the Jews. But first of all, a messenger to the Gentiles. You remember in Acts chapter 9, when God, after God had blinded Paul on the road to Damascus, and he had gone into the city, And he told a man by the name of Ananias, he said, I want you to go to a street called Straight. I want you to find this man called Saul. I want you to lay your hands upon him because he's seen you coming in a vision. And when you lay your hands on him, his sight will be restored. And Ananias said, but Lord, I've heard many things of what he's done, the many things he's done, the evil things that he's done to the saints in Jerusalem. And I heard that he's come here to bind or tie up and take prisoner all those that call upon your name. And God said, Ananias, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and to the children of Israel. And he goes on to say, he says, I am a steward of God's grace. He has entrusted to me his grace so that I can give it to you, so that I can share it with you. And he says, that's the reason I'm writing. And he said, that's the reason I'm writing this letter. That's the reason I'm writing this book, as we know, the book of Ephesians. God has made known this mystery to me. It was hidden in ages past. Hidden, and that's what the word mystery means, a hidden truth. And I am writing to you so that you can understand or know the mystery as well as I do. So what's a mystery? I'll point out to you, before I tell you what it is, that it's not the gospel. Because throughout the Old Testament, prophets were given glimpses, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was foretold, starting in the very first book of the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament. It was no secret that the Son of God was to come. It was no secret that he was to bear the sins of many. It was no secret that he was to be the Savior to all mankind. It was no secret that the Holy Spirit was going to be outpoured. We studied it when we studied the book of Job, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on man. It was no secret that the remission of sins were to be preached and that Christ was to take the throne of David. All that is foretold in the Old Testament. All that was known in other ages. But Paul says, the thing that I'm about to tell you in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the son of men. The men didn't know it. They did not know what I'm about to tell you, but now the Spirit hath revealed it unto the prophets and to the apostles. And here it is. Here's the mystery. Here's what God has revealed to me and wants me to share with you. It's in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, before I delve into it a little bit, let me just point out to you that I don't think we as Christians today realize that we are Gentiles. Okay? We're not Jews. The promises in the Old Testament were made to God's people, okay? And here's what Paul's saying. Here's the mystery. I want you to know that God is knocking down that wall of division between Gentiles and Jews. I want you to know, as he says in that verse, that we can be fellow heirs, belonging to the same body that God's chosen people belong to, and partake of every promise that Christ has made, and we're able to share in all that by the gospel. And he says, this is what God wants me to tell you, and it was his purpose from the creation of the world, that we are going to be one body, and that this body called the church, as we know it today, the called out group of believers called the church, is that we belong to it and are part of the body of Christ. And this distinction between Gentiles and Jews is gone. Most of us, again, let me just say, we've forgotten that we are Gentiles. We've forgotten that if this wall of division wasn't broken down, we could not claim the same promises that the Jews claimed. And Paul was saying, hey, I want you to understand. And by the way, Paul was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. I mean, in the book of Corinthians, he gives us his pedigree, so to speak. But he was called by God to carry the message, hey, look, God has dealt with his people, and he sent his son through his people, but all the promises that the Jews have, you can have also. And you can be part of the same body that they belong to. This distinction, this earthly distinction between Jews and Gentiles is gone. We talked a little bit about last week in Ephesians chapter 2 when we studied verses 14 and 15, where he said, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We talked about it in the book of Colossians when he said, and have put on the new man, which is received in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Sicanian, bond or free, but Christ in all, and Christ is all and in all. And so the secret that Paul's talking about is this, that instead of immediately coming, or instead of immediately setting up his kingdom after the resurrection, that Christ was going to disappear. And he was going to go back to heaven. And he was going to sit at the right hand of God. And all creation was going to be put under his power. And in his absence on this earth, there was going to be a group of people called out, both Jew and Gentile, to make up this thing called the church. And the church is being brought into an intimate relationship with Jesus. We are called his body. We are called his bride. We are called his temple. And so, as his body, we are his, share in his life. As his bride, we share in his love. As his temple, we share in his glory. And Paul says, I was made a minister to share this mystery, and I was made a minister by the gift of grace given to me by the effectual working of the Spirit of God. He says in verse 8, I'm the least of all the saints. He said in another place, I'm the least of all the apostles. He said in another place, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And yet God has given me his grace to share this mystery and to preach it among the Gentiles and to make all men see, in verse 9, to make all men see the fellowship of this mystery coming together to be one. He said, God knew it from the beginning of the world, but he hid it. He hid it from us. And now he's making it known to the church. It's been his purpose all along, his eternal purpose. But now he's making it known that we can have this oneness in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. You see, Paul, again, we know some of the tribulations that Paul went through. And people were saying, well, if he really is the messenger of God, why is God letting all this stuff come on Paul? And they were beginning to doubt Paul's message. And Paul said, hey, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't disbelieve because of the tribulations that God's putting in my life. I have been commissioned by him. And this message is not mine. It is his. And so in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family, which consists of those in heaven and those on earth, named after the name of Christ, those that have been saved, that he would grant you. Now again, he's fallen to a position of prayer. He's offering a prayer up in starting in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He says, in chapter 1, when Paul prayed, he said, I want you to know. Here in chapter 3, he says, I want you to have. I want you to have three things. I want you to have his power in the inner man. I want you to have his power, not in the outward man, but in the spiritual man. I want you to have the power that comes from his might. So that you can be the kind of spiritual entity, this kind of spiritual being that God wants you to be. And he says, you can do it because he's going to give you the power to do it. He's going to give you the ability to do it. And then he says, that Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He said, I want you to be rooted, and I want you to be grounded in love, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. He says, I want you to know the love of God. I want you to know how wide it is and how long it is and how high it is and how deep it is. He says it's beyond knowledge. You can't know it without God helping you to understand it. We cannot understand the love of God unless God helps us to understand it. It's beyond our comprehension. And Paul's saying, I want you to know that love. I want you to have that love. I want your life to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Now, the only way that that can happen is that Christ have first place in our life, that he dwell in our life. We can only be rooted and grounded in love as we have him. And then the last part of verse 19, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Now just stop and think about that. It's where I wanted to get. I should have started right here. And to be filled with all the fullness of God. We might ask the question, how is that possible? How can I, a mortal being, be filled with all the fullness of God? You might as well try to put all the water in all the oceans in the world in a thimble. How can we, as mortal beings, be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, let me tell you. Christ is the fullness of God. In Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Ephesians chapter 1, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so to be filled with the fullness of God, with all the fullness of God, means to be filled with Christ. In Colossians 2, again, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete, or filled full in him. So, if we're to be filled with all the fullness of Christ, it's not a question of if we can hold all of him. The question is, will we allow ourselves to be filled with him? It's not a question that if we can hold him or not. It's a question of will we allow all ourselves to be filled with him? He will fill all that we give him. The question is, will we give him all? Paul says, I want you to be filled with the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God. Christ is the fullness of God. You can be filled with him. You say, I'm just a mortal being. I can't hold all the fullness of God. Yes, you can. If you will allow him to fill every part of your being to the complete capacity. completely possessed, permeated by him in every part of your life, he will fill all that we give him. The question is, will we give him all to fill? And again, can we do it? You say, well, I can't even do that, preacher. How can I give all of myself to be full? Well, look at what Paul says sort of in his benediction, his doxology there in verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can do it if we'll let him. I mean, just look at the words. Is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I haven't known how to pray the last 2 days. I bow down to pray and I just start crying. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to ask it. And then I read this verse. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I can't think it. I can't ask it because I don't know what to think and I don't know what to ask. But it doesn't matter because he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that. Unto him be glory in the church. I could have just preached on this verse tonight. Unto him be glory in the church. Everything that we do in the church, not in this building's not the church, we're the church. But everything we do in the church ought to bring glory to him. If it doesn't, we ought not to be doing it. If it does, we ought to be doing it more. Everything ought to bring glory to him throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. 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 Let it be. Let it be. Let the church give glory, bring glory to God, to him. Anybody have any question or comment? Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.